Chapter 1: Shadows of the Past. Liam Carrington had spent years operating in the world's most dangerous and clandestine arenas, yet nothing ever prepared him for the uncertainty of fatherhood. A former Green Beret turned CIA operative, he had spent his life dismantling complex threats, cartels, insurgent networks, and rogue regimes, before retiring to a quieter existence. At least, that's what he told himself. But deep inside, Liam knew that peace was a facade. His world, though quieter, remained an endless battlefield. Only now, his opponent was time. And he was losing. The late afternoon sunlight streamed through the blinds of his modest Los Angeles apartment. A glass of whiskey rested on the kitchen counter, untouched. He stared at his phone, willing it to ring. His daughter, Sophie, had promised to call at noon to finalize their plans for the weekend, but it was already past 2. Another broken promise. Another silent rejection. Sophie lived in a different world now. She shared a sprawling Beverly Hills estate with her mother, Renee, and her wealthy stepfather, Victor Marshall. Marble floors, infinity pools, private tutors, it was a life Liam had never known. Renee had always wanted more than what Liam could provide, and Victor had given her everything. Their marriage had ended years ago, but the scars it left on Liam were fresh as ever. The ringing phone jolted him back to the present. He snatched it off the counter. "Hey, Dad," Sophie's voice greeted him, light and tentative. "Sophie," Liam said, his voice steadier than he felt. "I was beginning to think you forgot. Sorry. I got caught up with schoolwork." Schoolwork. It was always schoolwork or friends, or some other excuse to keep him at arm's length. "Well, I was thinking we could do dinner at that Italian place you like," he offered, masking the disappointment. "Actually," Sophie hesitated, and Liam braced himself for the inevitable. "I wanted to ask you something." "Go ahead." "I want to go to Paris," she blurted out, her words coming in a rush. "With Mia. Just for 2 weeks. It's a school break, and we've been planning this for months. Please, Dad. It's really important to me." Liam felt the air leave his lungs. Paris. 2 teenage girls alone in a foreign country. The idea made his skin crawl. "Paris?" he echoed, his voice sharp. "With no supervision?" "Mia's cousins live there," Sophie explained quickly. "We'll be staying at their apartment. They'll look out for us." Liam didn't buy it. He could hear the rehearsed pitch in her voice. "Have you talked to your mom about this?" "She already said yes. She and Victor even bought the tickets. I just wanted to make sure it's okay with you. Renee and Victor." "Of course." "Sophie, I don't think." "Please, Dad," she interrupted. "I'll call you every day. I promise. Just think about it, okay?" Liam sat in his car outside Sophie's school later that day, his hands gripping the steering wheel tightly. He watched as she bounded down the steps, laughing with Mia. She looked so much like her mother, bright-eyed, confident, completely unaware of the dangers that lurked in the shadows of the world she lived in. As Sophie climbed into the passenger seat, Liam forced a smile. "Let's grab a coffee," he said. She gave him a quizzical look, but agreed. At the cafe, Liam steered the conversation toward her trip. He pressed her for details, her itinerary, the cousins' names, the flight schedules. The more he learned, the less comfortable he felt. "Sophie, do you understand how dangerous this could be?" he asked finally, his voice low. She sighed. "Dad, I'm not a little kid anymore. I'll be fine." He stared at her, torn between his instincts and her plea for independence. "All right," he said at last. "But you call me the moment you land. And if anything feels off, even for a second, you call me." "Got it." Her face lit up with relief. "Thank you, Dad. You're the best." As they left the cafe, Liam couldn't shake the nagging feeling that he had just made a mistake. In the dimly lit office of his old friend Marcus Devlin, Liam sat hunched over a laptop, researching recent reports of human trafficking in Europe. The statistics were chilling. Thousands of young women disappeared every year, many never found. "You think something's going to happen to her?" Marcus asked, leaning back in his chair. "I don't know," Liam admitted. "But I can't shake the feeling that she's walking into something she doesn't understand. You're not just her father, Liam. You're a trained operative. If anyone can keep her safe, it's you." Liam nodded, but Marcus's words brought little comfort. For the first time in years, Liam felt powerless. Chapter 2: The Father's Promise. The message had put Liam at ease, until the next day, when Sophie's calls began to feel shorter, rushed. She seemed distracted, always assuring him that everything was fine before cutting the conversation short. He noticed subtle things, the way her voice faltered when he asked about her plans, or how Mia was suddenly unavailable to join their calls. Liam decided to dig deeper. He contacted his Paris informant, a retired intelligence officer named Emil Durand, who owed him a favor. She and her friend checked in with two large bags at Charles de Gaulle, Emil reported over the phone. They shared a taxi with a young man. Early 20s, dark hair, polished look. Liam's grip on the phone tightened. Did you get his name? Only a first name, Pierre. But I'll dig into it. Do it fast, Liam said. And keep an eye on her. Sophie and Mia, meanwhile, had settled into a grand but empty Parisian apartment. The cousins they were supposed to stay with, Claire and Matthew, were nowhere to be found. Instead, they had been charmed by Pierre, the handsome young man they'd met at the airport. He had taken them sightseeing and introduced them to his friends, promising the trip of a lifetime. By the third night, the girls had let their guard down completely. Pierre had invited them to a house party, insisting it was safe and exclusive. Sophie hesitated at first, but Mia's enthusiasm was infectious. Come on, Soph, Mia said, grinning. When's the next time we're going to party in Paris? Reluctantly, Sophie agreed. They dressed up and followed Pierre into the heart of the city. That night, Liam was jolted awake by a phone call. It was Sophie. Dad, she whispered, her voice shaking. Something's wrong. What's going on? Liam demanded, instantly alert. I'm in the apartment, she said. Mia went out with Pierre, but she hasn't come back. I heard noises, people trying to get in. Listen to me carefully, Liam said, his voice calm but commanding. Lock yourself in the bathroom. Stay quiet. Don't make a sound. Sophie's breathing quickened. They're here, Dad. There. The phone went dead. Liam froze, every instinct screaming at him to move. He called her back, but there was no answer. The third time, the call was answered, but not by Sophie. He heard heavy breathing, then a man's voice, low and menacing. Who is this? Liam asked, his tone deadly. The man didn't respond. Liam could hear muffled cries in the background, Sophie's cries. I don't know who you are, Liam said, his voice icy and deliberate. But if you let her go now, this will end quietly. If you don't, I will find you. And when I do, there will be no place on earth you can hide. There was a pause, then the man chuckled. Good luck, he said, before hanging up. Liam sat there, the phone still pressed to his ear, his mind racing. The weight of those two words crushed any semblance of restraint he had left. His daughter was in the hands of predators, and he had less than 96 hours to find her before she disappeared forever. Liam Carrington had experienced fear before. He had walked into war zones, defused bombs, and stared down enemies who wouldn't hesitate to kill him. But this fear was different. This fear wasn't for himself, it was for Sophie. The terror of not knowing where she was or what might be happening to her ignited something deep within him, something primal and unstoppable. He wasted no time. His fingers flew across his phone screen as he called Marcus. Marcus, I need intel, Liam barked into the phone as soon as the line connected. Now, what's going on? Marcus's voice was sharp, sensing the urgency. Sophie's been taken. I'm flying to Paris. I need you to pull every connection we have. Interpol, French intelligence, anyone who can help. Marcus didn't ask questions. I'll get on it. Send me everything you know so far. Liam hung up and immediately booked a red-eye flight to Paris. As he packed a small bag, he mentally rehearsed the steps he needed to take. He wasn't going in blind. He had contacts, resources, and most importantly, a lifetime of experience hunting predators like the ones who had taken Sophie. Before leaving, he stopped at his gun safe, retrieving a compact Glock 19 and a suppressor. He hesitated for a moment before slipping the weapon into his bag. It wasn't legal to carry it into France, but legality was the least of his concerns. The flight to Paris was agonizing. Liam replayed every moment of his last conversation with Sophie, analyzing her tone, her breathing, the background noise. He scrolled through her social media accounts, looking for clues. There were recent photos of her and Mia at iconic Parisian landmarks, smiling, carefree, completely unaware of the danger closing in around them. When the plane landed, Liam was the first off, moving with the precision and purpose of a man on a mission. Emil Durand was waiting for him at the arrival's gate, a grim expression on his weathered face. Liam, Emil greeted, his voice low. It's been a long time. Too long, Liam replied curtly. What do you have for me? Your daughter and her friend were last seen entering a taxi with a man matching the description you gave me. I've identified him. His real name is Petr Kovac, an Albanian national. He's known to be connected to a trafficking syndicate operating out of Eastern Europe. Liam's jaw tightened. Where is he now? Dead, Emil said. A truck hit him while he was fleeing the airport 2 days ago. We're trying to identify his associates, but the trail is cold. Cold doesn't work for me, Liam snapped. What about the apartment? Emil handed him a folder. It's a rental property. No record of the supposed cousins. I've got men watching it, but whoever took the girls cleaned the place out. Liam flipped through the photos Emil had provided. He paused on an image of a young woman's denim jacket, Sophie's jacket, discarded in a filthy corner of the apartment. His chest tightened, but he shoved the emotion aside. He couldn't afford to feel. Not now. Liam's first stop was the apartment. He scanned the scene methodically, piecing together what had happened. Broken glass near the front door suggested a forced entry. Scuff marks on the floor told him there had been a struggle. In Sophie's room, he found her phone charger still plugged into the wall. She had left in a hurry, or more likely, had been dragged out. As he crouched near the bed, something caught his eye, a crumpled receipt wedged between the mattress and the wall. It was from a small cafe in Montmartre, dated the same day Sophie and Mia had arrived. Good girl, Liam murmured. She had left him a breadcrumb, whether intentionally or not. The cafe was crowded when Liam arrived, but his sharp eyes immediately picked out a man sitting alone at a corner table, watching the room too closely. Liam approached him without hesitation, slipping into the seat across from him. Emil sent you, the man asked in a heavy accent. Yes, Liam said. What do you have? The man slid a photo across the table. It showed Sophie and Mia standing near a sleek black car, smiling nervously as Petter held the door open for them. They were taken from here, the man said. Petter brought them to a safe house in the 18th arrondissement. From there, they were handed off to someone higher up the chain. That's all I know. It's not enough, Liam growled. I need names, addresses, everything. The man hesitated, clearly uneasy. Look, this isn't just some gang. These people are connected. You stir the pot too much, and you'll find yourself in a shallow grave. Liam leaned in, his voice cold and steady. I don't care who they are. I care about my daughter. Now either you give me what I need, or I make you irrelevant. Your choice. The man swallowed hard. There's a man named Victor Dragan. He runs a makeshift brothel out of a construction site in the industrial district. If your girl's still in the city, she might have passed through there. That night, Liam found himself perched on the roof of a dilapidated warehouse, peering through binoculars. Below, a group of heavily armed men guarded a line of terrified women being herded into a shipping container. Liam's stomach churned, but he forced himself to focus. This wasn't a rescue mission, not yet. He was here for information, and that meant getting close. Silently, he descended the fire escape and slipped into the shadows. Liam's training took over, his movements precise and calculated. He took down the first guard with a choke hold, dragging the body into the shadows. The second fell to a single, suppressed shot from his Glock. Inside the warehouse, Liam found a filthy room lined with cots. Most of the women were too drugged to respond, but one stirred as he approached. Her eyes widened in terror, and she shrank back. It's okay, Liam said gently. I'm here to help. The woman's gaze darted to a corner of the room, where a crumpled denim jacket lay. Liam's heart stopped. Sophie, he whispered. The woman shook her head weakly. Gone, she rasped. Taken to the auction. Liam's blood ran cold. An auction. He didn't need details to know what that meant. Where? He demanded. The woman struggled to speak, her voice barely audible. St. Denis, under the club. Liam nodded, his resolve hardening. You're safe now, he promised. Help is coming. He left her there, knowing Emil's men would arrive soon to extract the survivors. For now, his mission was clear. Sophie was out there, and Liam would burn Paris to the ground to bring her home. Chapter 3. Deception at the Gate. Liam Carrington moved through the Parisian streets like a shadow, silent and deliberate. His mind raced as he pieced together what little information he had. St. Denis. An auction. His daughter's time was slipping away, and every second felt like a lifetime. He would find Sophie no matter the cost. The St. Denis district was alive with activity. Neon lights glowed in the misty night air, and the rhythmic bass of underground clubs reverberated through the cobblestone streets. The club Emil's contact mentioned was tucked in a nondescript alley, its unmarked door guarded by two imposing men. Liam surveyed the scene from a distance, his mind calculating the next move. Direct confrontation was out of the question. These weren't amateurs. He needed a way inside. As luck would have it, a sleek black car pulled up to the curb, and a sharply dressed man stepped out. Liam's eyes narrowed. The man greeted the guards with a casual nod, and they stepped aside to let him in. Liam followed the car's trajectory, noting its diplomatic plates. Whoever this man was, he carried weight. Liam adjusted his jacket, his eyes scanning for an opening. Then he saw it. The man's cigarette case had slipped from his pocket, landing on the ground unnoticed. Liam moved quickly, scooping it up and calling out, "Excuse me, monsieur." The man turned, surprised. "Your case," Liam said, holding it out. The man looked him over, his suspicion momentarily eclipsed by the gesture. "Thank you," he said, slipping the case back into his pocket. "No problem," Liam replied. Then, lowering his voice, he added, "I was told this is the place to do business. Am I correct?" The man hesitated, his eyes narrowing. "Who sent you?" Liam gave a small smirk. "Let's just say I know the right people." The man studied him for a moment, then motioned for him to follow. Liam suppressed a wave of relief as they approached the door. The guards gave Liam a quick once-over, but let him pass without incident. Inside, the club was a labyrinth of decadence and depravity. Dim lighting and a haze of cigarette smoke gave the air an oppressive weight. Liam's ears picked up fragments of conversation, various languages, hushed tones, and the unmistakable hum of deals being made. His guide led him to a private elevator at the back of the club. "You'll find what you're looking for below," the man said, stepping aside. Liam nodded his thanks, stepping into the elevator. As the doors closed, he felt the weight of his Glock pressing against his side. When the elevator doors opened, Liam stepped into a starkly different world. The basement was a sprawling, high-security facility. Guards patrolled the perimeter with military precision, and rows of cages lined the walls, each containing terrified young women. At the center of the room was a makeshift stage, where a man in a tailored suit addressed a small crowd of bidders. Liam's fists clenched as he realized the enormity of what he was witnessing. This wasn't just about Sophie, it was a full-scale human trafficking operation. Liam moved carefully, blending into the crowd. His eyes scanned the cages, searching for Sophie's face. The bidding began, each girl paraded onto the stage like livestock. Liam felt his blood boil, but he forced himself to stay calm. Finally, his heart stopped as Sophie was led onto the stage. She was pale and trembling, but alive. The auctioneer's voice boomed as he listed her attributes, emphasizing her youth and purity. The room erupted into a frenzy of bidding. Liam's mind raced. He couldn't make a move without drawing attention, and he couldn't risk Sophie getting hurt. Then he saw an opportunity. One of the bidders, a man with an air of authority, had stepped away from the crowd to take a phone call. Liam followed him into a quiet hallway and struck with precision. A single blow to the throat silenced the man, and Liam dragged his unconscious body into a storage room. Quickly swapping clothes with the bidder, Liam pocketed the man's auction paddle and rejoined the crowd. When Sophie's bidding resumed, Liam raised his paddle, his heart pounding. The numbers climbed higher and higher, and he matched every bid without hesitation. Finally, the auctioneer slammed his gavel, and Sophie was escorted off stage. Liam followed the handler, who was leading Sophie toward a secure area. He waited until they were out of sight, then struck, disarming and incapacitating the handler in seconds. "Sophie," he whispered, crouching beside her. Her eyes widened in recognition. "Dad!" "It's me," he said, cutting through the restraints on her wrists. "We're getting out of here." Before they could move, the sound of approaching footsteps froze them both. Chapter 4, The First Clue. The footsteps echoed closer, heavy boots against concrete. Liam Carrington pulled Sophie into the shadows, motioning for her to stay silent. Her wide eyes brimmed with terror, but she nodded, trusting her father's lead. He drew his Glock, its weight familiar and steady in his hand. The handler's radio buzzed with sharp commands, and Liam caught fragments of French and Albanian, a call for reinforcements. He knew they didn't have much time. The men would be looking for Sophie and the bidder who'd suddenly disappeared from the auction. As two guards turned the corner, Liam moved with precision. The first fell to a silenced shot, the second to a quick, brutal strike that left him crumpled on the floor. Liam dragged the bodies out of sight, his movements practiced and unyielding. "Stay close to me," he whispered to Sophie. They slipped through the dimly lit corridors, weaving past storage rooms and security checkpoints. Liam's sharp eyes caught every detail, the placement of cameras, the rhythm of the guards' patrols. This wasn't just an escape, it was a tactical operation. "Dad," Sophie whispered, her voice trembling. "What's happening? Who are these people?" "I'll explain everything later," Liam said, keeping his focus ahead. "Right now, we need to get out of here." The sound of shouting erupted behind them, followed by the heavy thud of boots. They'd been discovered. Liam cursed under his breath, grabbing Sophie's hand and quickening their pace. The corridor opened into a large, dimly lit loading dock. A group of men stood near a row of black SUVs, their rifles slung casually over their shoulders. Liam's mind worked quickly, assessing the scene. There were too many to take head-on. He spotted a stack of crates along the wall and pulled Sophie behind them. "Stay here," he said firmly. "No matter what happens, do not move until I come back for you." "What are you going to do?" Sophie asked, panic creeping into her voice. "Whatever it takes," Liam replied, his tone leaving no room for argument. Liam circled the dock, moving silently along the shadows. He spotted a lone guard smoking near the exit. With practiced precision, he crept up behind him, clamping a hand over his mouth and delivering a swift blow to the back of his neck. The guard crumpled, unconscious. Quickly, Liam searched the man's pockets, finding a key fob for the SUVs. He pocketed it and returned to Sophie. "Come on," he whispered, helping her to her feet. They moved toward one of the vehicles, keeping low to avoid detection. Liam unlocked the SUV with the fob, and they slipped inside. "Stay down," he instructed Sophie as he hotwired the engine. The SUV roared to life, drawing the attention of the men at the dock. Shouts erupted as they raised their weapons, but Liam didn't hesitate. He slammed the vehicle into gear, plowing through the loading dock and out into the night. Bullets ricocheted off the vehicle as Liam navigated the narrow streets of St. Denis. Sophie clung to the seat, her face pale. "Hold on!" Liam shouted as he took a sharp turn, narrowly avoiding a collision with a delivery truck. The SUV sped through the labyrinth of Parisian streets, the pursuer's headlights growing fainter in the rearview mirror. Finally, Liam pulled into an abandoned alley and killed the engine. For a moment, the only sound was their heavy breathing. "Are you hurt?" Liam asked, turning to Sophie. She shook her head, tears streaming down her face. "I'm okay," she whispered. Liam exhaled, his hands gripping the steering wheel tightly. "Good. The first break." Once they were certain they hadn't been followed, Liam drove to a safe house Emil had arranged, a small, nondescript apartment on the outskirts of the city. Inside, Liam immediately checked Sophie for injuries. "I'm fine, Dad," she insisted, her voice shaky. "But Mia, they took her first." "I think they—" she broke off, her voice cracking. Liam placed a hand on her shoulder. "We'll find her," he said firmly. "But I need you to tell me everything you remember. Every detail, no matter how small." Sophie nodded, wiping her tears. She recounted the events leading up to the abduction, the charming stranger at the airport, the empty promises of safety, the sudden attack at the apartment. "It was like they knew we were there," she said. "They didn't hesitate. They just came in." Liam's jaw tightened. The operation had been too precise. Someone had set them up. "Did you hear any names?" "Locations," he asked. "There was one man," Sophie said. "He was in charge. They called him Marco." The name hit Liam like a punch to the gut. Marco Dragan. He knew the name well, a key figure in the Albanian trafficking syndicate. Ruthless, connected, and nearly untouchable. Liam's mind raced. Marco wasn't just a trafficker, he was the linchpin of a sprawling network. If Marco was involved, this wasn't a random kidnapping. It was a high-value operation. A plan in motion. Liam contacted Emil, relaying everything Sophie had told him. "Marco Dragan," Emil repeated grimly. "That's a name I hoped never to hear again. Where is he?" Liam asked. Emil hesitated. "He operates out of a heavily guarded safe house near the river." "But Liam, this isn't just some gang. Marco has protection, political, criminal. If you go after him, there's no turning back." "There never was," Liam said coldly. "Send me the location." Emil sighed. "I'll do what I can to help. But be careful, Liam. This isn't just about Sophie anymore. You're going up against an entire syndicate." "I don't care if I have to burn the whole network to the ground," Liam replied. "They took my daughter. Now, I'm taking everything from them." As he hung up, Liam turned to Sophie. "I'm going to get you somewhere safe," he said. "What about Mia?" Sophie asked, her voice trembling. "I'll find her too," Liam promised. "But I need you to trust me. Can you do that?" Sophie nodded, her eyes filled with a mixture of fear and determination. Liam checked his weapon, his resolve hardening. The hunt was just beginning, and he wouldn't stop until every last link in Marco's chain was broken. Chapter 5: The Hunting Ground. The safe house Emil described was nestled in a forgotten corner of the city, a dilapidated warehouse sitting on the edge of the Seine. Its exterior betrayed nothing of the horrors within, no guards outside, no visible signs of activity. But Liam knew better. He'd seen operations like this before. They thrived in anonymity, blending into the ordinary to conceal their extraordinary crimes. From a rooftop across the street, Liam scanned the warehouse with a pair of binoculars. The faint glow of light seeped through cracks and boarded up windows. A black SUV sat parked near a rusted loading dock, its engine still warm, freshly arrived. "Bingo," Liam muttered under his breath. He slipped his phone from his pocket, dialing Emil. "I'm at the location," Liam said. "Any chatter?" "Nothing concrete," Emil replied. "But we've intercepted some traffic in Albanian. They're on high alert, probably because of the auction disruption. Be careful, Liam. Marco's men don't play games." "I don't either," Liam said, ending the call. Breaching the shadows. Getting inside the warehouse required patience. Liam waited for nearly an hour, studying the patterns of movement from the few guards he could see through the windows. When one stepped outside for a cigarette, Liam made his move. He descended the rooftop silently, landing in the alley behind the warehouse. He crept along the wall, his Glock drawn, until he was close enough to hear the guard muttering in Albanian. In one swift motion, Liam wrapped an arm around the guard's neck, cutting off his air supply. The man struggled for a moment before going limp. Liam dragged the body into the shadows, frisking him for weapons and taking a key card from his belt. The door creaked as Liam eased it open. Inside, the air was heavy with the stench of sweat and fear. The faint hum of fluorescent lights buzzed overhead, illuminating a long corridor lined with storage rooms. Liam moved quickly, his steps silent against the concrete floor. The interrogation. In one of the rooms, Liam found a man sitting at a table, his focus on a laptop screen. The room was sparse, a folding chair, a desk cluttered with papers, and a single bare bulb hanging from the ceiling. Liam stepped inside, closing the door behind him. The man looked up, startled, but before he could react, Liam had him pinned against the wall. "Where's Marco?" Liam demanded, pressing the barrel of his Glock to the man's temple. I don't know," the man stammered, his accent thick. Liam slammed him against the wall again. "Wrong answer. Where's Marco?" "He's not here," the man cried. "He left hours ago." Liam's eyes narrowed. "Then tell me where he went." The man hesitated, his fear evident. Liam pressed the gun harder. "A club," the man finally blurted. "In the 12th arrondissement. It's where they meet before shipping the girls out of the country." "What's the name of the club?" "Le Serpent," the man said, his voice trembling. Liam's expression hardened. He knocked the man out cold with the butt of his gun and grabbed the laptop. He scanned its contents quickly, finding a list of names, locations, and dates. It was a gold mine of information. The makeshift prison. As Liam moved deeper into the warehouse, the faint sound of muffled cries reached his ears. He followed the noise to a locked metal door. Using the keycard he'd taken from the guard, he opened it to reveal a dimly lit room filled with terrified young women. Most of them were huddled in corners, their eyes wide with fear. Some were too drugged to even notice him. Liam scanned the room quickly, but didn't see Mia. "It's okay," he said, his voice steady and calm. "I'm here to help." The girls stared at him, their expressions a mixture of disbelief and hope. "Is there anyone else here?" Liam asked. One girl, braver than the rest, stepped forward. "They took another girl earlier today," she said, her voice trembling. "A blonde. They said she was being sent to the buyer." Liam's stomach sank. "Mia. Where?" he asked urgently. The girl shook her head. "I don't know. They didn't say." Liam clenched his fists. He couldn't save Mia yet, but he could save these girls. He pulled out his phone and called Emil. "I need an extraction team," he said. "I found the girls. Send them to the warehouse on Quai de Seine." "On it," Emil replied. A deadly encounter. Liam was preparing to leave when he heard the sound of heavy boots approaching. He ducked into the shadows just as a group of armed men entered the warehouse. "They found the auction," one of the men growled. "Marco wants everyone gone by morning." Liam recognized the man's voice immediately, Marco Dragan. He tightened his grip on his gun, his pulse steady. This was the man who had taken Sophie, the man who had orchestrated this entire nightmare. As the group passed, Liam moved like a predator, taking out the stragglers one by one. By the time the others realized what was happening, it was too late. Liam had them pinned in a crossfire, his shots precise and deadly. Marco, realizing he was outmatched, bolted for the exit. Liam pursued him relentlessly, his focus unwavering. The first clue. Liam cornered Marco in a dark alley behind the warehouse. The trafficker was bleeding, a gunshot wound to his leg, slowing him down. He raised his hands, a smirk on his face despite his injuries. "You think this ends with me?" Marco sneered. You have no idea how deep this goes. Then start talking, Liam said, aiming his gun at Marco's head. Marco laughed bitterly. You think you can save her? You're already too late. She's gone. Where? Liam demanded, his voice cold. Marco's smirk faltered. St. Clair, he said finally. He's the buyer. But you'll never touch him. We'll see about that, Liam said. With one final shot, he ended Marco's reign of terror. Liam stood in the alley, his heart pounding. He had a name, Patrice St. Clair, and a direction. Sophie's fate hung in the balance, and Liam was more determined than ever to bring her home. Chapter 6, Shadows and Allies. The name Patrice St. Clair echoed in Liam's mind as he stood in the dim alley, his breath visible in the cold Parisian air. Marco Dragan was dead, but the real battle was only beginning. St. Clair wasn't just another trafficker. He was a power broker, a shadowy figure with wealth, influence, and protection at the highest levels. Liam's instincts told him that St. Clair would be heavily guarded, and the operation to recover Sophie was about to become even more dangerous. For a brief moment, Liam closed his eyes, letting the weight of the situation settle. His years in the military and the CIA had prepared him for impossible missions, but this one was personal. He dialed Emile's number as he moved back toward the stolen SUV parked near the warehouse. Liam, Emile answered, his tone tense. I heard gunfire. Are you clear? For now, Liam said. Marco Dragan is dead. But I have a name, Patrice St. Clair. He's the buyer, and he is Sophie. Emile cursed softly on the other end. St. Clair. That's not good. He's untouchable, Liam. He operates under the protection of some very powerful people. No one is untouchable, Liam said coldly. Where can I find him? There's a mansion in Neuilly-sur-Seine, Emile said. But getting to him will be almost impossible. He has private security, armed to the teeth, and a network of surveillance that rivals the DGSE. You can't just walk in there. I won't, Liam replied. But I'll find a way. Liam, you'll need backup. This isn't a solo operation anymore. Liam hesitated. He preferred to work alone, but Emile was right. This mission was becoming too large for one man. Who do you trust? Liam asked. I have a few names, Emile said. Old friends who know how to keep quiet and handle themselves in a fight. But they'll need convincing. Set it up, Liam said. Recruiting allies. Emile arranged a meeting at a secluded cafe near the outskirts of the city. The men he had gathered were seasoned operatives, former intelligence agents and military personnel who had worked alongside Emile in the past. The leader of the group was Armand Bisset, a grizzled ex-DGSE agent with a reputation for being fearless in the field. He eyed Liam critically as they shook hands. You're the American Emile won't shut up about, Armand said. The one-man army. I don't need an army, Liam replied. Just people who can follow orders and stay alive. Armand smirked. Fair enough. What's the job? Liam outlined the mission, sparing no detail. As he spoke, the men's expressions shifted from skepticism to grim determination. They knew the risks, but they also understood the stakes. St. Clair's mansion won't be easy to breach, Armand said when Liam finished. But if we hit hard and fast, we might have a chance. That's all I need, Liam said. The plan. The group spent the next several hours planning their assault. The mansion was a fortress, with layers of security designed to keep intruders out. Cameras, motion sensors, armed guards. It was a challenge even for professionals. We'll need a distraction, Armand said, tracing the perimeter of the mansion on a map. Something to pull the guards away from the main entrance. I can handle that, Emile volunteered. Liam nodded. Once the guards are distracted, we'll breach through the south side. That's the weakest point in the security grid. And what happens when St. Clair's private militia shows up? One of the men asked. Liam's expression was steely. We deal with them. Into the lion's den. The assault began under the cover of darkness. Emile set off a series of explosions on the far side of the estate, drawing the attention of St. Clair's guards. As the chaos unfolded, Liam and his team moved in. The south entrance was lightly guarded, just as they'd anticipated. Liam dispatched the first two sentries with silent precision, and the team slipped inside. The interior of the mansion was opulent, its marble floors and crystal chandeliers a stark contrast to the horrors that St. Clair orchestrated. Liam's focus never wavered as they moved room by room, eliminating any resistance they encountered. A critical discovery. In one of the upper rooms, Liam found a ledger filled with names, dates, and transactions. It was a detailed record of St. Clair's trafficking operations, a treasure trove of evidence that could bring down his entire network. "This is it," Liam said, handing the ledger to Armand. "Get this to Emil. He'll know what to do with it." "What about you?" Armand asked. "I'm going after Sophie," Liam said. Armand hesitated, then nodded. "Good luck." The final confrontation. Liam's pursuit of St. Clair led him to a hidden basement beneath the mansion. The air was cold and damp, and the faint sound of muffled voices echoed through the narrow corridors. As Liam moved deeper into the basement, he heard Sophie's voice, soft, trembling, but alive. He quickened his pace, his heart pounding. He found her in a small cell, her hands bound and her face pale. "Sophie," Liam whispered, kneeling beside her. Her eyes filled with tears as she recognized him. "Dad, it's okay," he said, cutting her restraints. "I've got you." Before they could leave, the door behind them slammed open. St. Clair entered, flanked by two armed guards. "So this is the famous Liam Carrington," St. Clair said, his tone mocking. "You've caused me a great deal of trouble." Liam stepped in front of Sophie, his Glock trained on St. Clair. "Let her go, and I might let you live." St. Clair laughed. "You think you can just walk out of here? You have no idea who you're dealing with." The standoff was brief. Liam moved like a lightning strike, taking out the guards with two precise shots before turning his weapon on St. Clair. St. Clair raised his hands, his confidence faltering. "Wait." Liam didn't wait. One shot ended the man's reign of terror. "Escape." With St. Clair dead, Liam and Sophie fought their way out of the mansion, dodging the last of the guards. When they finally reached the safety of the woods beyond the estate, Liam pulled Sophie into a tight embrace. "It's over," he said softly. Sophie clung to him, her tears soaking into his jacket. "Thank you, Dad." Liam didn't reply. The battle was over, but the scars it had left would take far longer to heal. Chapter 7. Through the Veil of Smoke. The Parisian dawn broke pale and cold as Liam and Sophie made their way through the dense forest surrounding St. Clair's estate. Though Sophie was safe, Liam's mind remained sharp and alert. The death of Patrice St. Clair might have freed her, but Liam knew it was only the beginning. St. Clair was part of a larger, deeply entrenched syndicate, one that wouldn't let the disruption go unanswered. They stopped briefly near an abandoned farmhouse where Emil had arranged an extraction team. The sound of an approaching vehicle set Liam's nerves on edge, but when Emil emerged from the driver's seat of the unmarked van, Liam exhaled slightly. "You look like hell," Emil said, stepping out of the van. "Feel worse," Liam replied, his voice gruff. "Did you get the ledger?" Emil nodded. "Armand delivered it. We've already passed it along to the authorities. This could cripple their operation, Liam." "Good," Liam said, his focus shifting to Sophie. "I need you to get her somewhere safe." "What about you?" Emil asked, raising an eyebrow. Liam's expression darkened. "I'm not done." "Sophie's resistance." "No." Sophie's voice rang out, filled with panic and defiance. She stepped closer to Liam, her hands clenched into fists. "You're not leaving me again." Liam knelt down, placing a hand on her shoulder. "Sophie, listen to me. You've been through enough. I need you to trust Emil. He'll keep you safe." "But what about you?" she demanded, her voice cracking. "What if something happens to you?" "I can't." Liam's grip tightened, his eyes locking onto hers. "Nothing will happen to me. But I can't do what I need to do if I'm worrying about you." Tears streamed down her face, but she nodded reluctantly. "Okay," she whispered. Emil opened the van's door, motioning for Sophie to climb inside. As she hesitated, Liam reached into his jacket and pulled out a small GPS tracker. "Keep this with you," he said, pressing it into her hand. "No matter what happens, I'll find you." Into the fire. With Sophie safely on her way, Liam turned his attention back to the mission. St. Clair's death would send shockwaves through the trafficking network, but it also meant retaliation. Liam knew the syndicate would regroup, and when they did, they'd come for Sophie and anyone who had helped her escape. Liam returned to Emil's safe house to regroup. He pored over the ledger Armand had recovered, analyzing the names, locations, and coded transactions. One name stood out. Sheikh Omar Khalid. "Khalid," Liam muttered, his brow furrowing. "Khalid," Emil echoed, stepping into the room. "That's a dangerous name to pursue. What do you know about him?" Liam asked. "Khalid is the financial backbone of the network," Emil said. "He funds their operations, provides safe passage for their shipments, and ensures the authorities look the other way. If you're planning to go after him, you're going to need more than luck." "Luck isn't part of my plan," Liam said. Emil studied him for a moment, then nodded. "If you're serious about this, there's someone you need to meet. A new ally." Emil's contact was an enigmatic figure named Nadia Zorich, a former investigative journalist turned vigilante. She had spent years tracking the syndicate, gathering evidence, and exposing their atrocities to the world. When Liam and Emil arrived at her hidden base, Nadia greeted them with a wary glance. Her dark eyes were sharp, taking in every detail of Liam's demeanor. "So, you're the infamous Liam Carrington," Nadia said, her voice laced with skepticism. "The man who walked into St. Clair's den and walked out with his daughter." "I've heard about you too," Liam replied. "Your work has hurt these people, but it hasn't stopped them." "Yet," Nadia corrected. Liam didn't respond. Instead, he placed the ledger on the table. "I need your help. Khalid is my next target." Nadia's eyes flickered to the ledger, her interest piqued. "Khalid is a ghost. He operates from the shadows, never staying in one place for long. Finding him won't be easy." "Nothing about this has been easy," Liam said. Nadia smirked. "Fair point. I have a lead, but it's dangerous. Khalid has a private security team that moves his assets. They're stationed at a dock in Marseille. If we hit them hard enough, we might flush him out." The road to Marseille. The trip to Marseille was tense, the weight of the mission pressing down on the small team. Liam, Emil, and Nadia reviewed their plan repeatedly, preparing for every possible scenario. The dockyard was a sprawling complex of shipping containers and warehouses, heavily guarded by Khalid's men. Liam studied the layout through binoculars, mapping out their approach. "We go in quiet," Liam said. "Take out the sentries first, then split up. Nadia, you find their communication hub and disable it. Emil, you cover our exit. I'll handle the cargo." "What do you expect to find in the cargo?" Nadia asked. "Leverage," Liam replied. "The attack." The operation began just after midnight. Liam and Nadia moved through the shadows, dispatching guards with ruthless efficiency. The tension was palpable, every step bringing them closer to Khalid's operation. Nadia located the communication hub and began dismantling the network while Liam moved toward the shipping containers marked with Khalid's emblem. Inside, he found what he had feared, more victims locked in cages like animals. Liam's jaw tightened as he broke open the locks, freeing the captives. "Stay here," he told them. "Help is on the way." As he moved to the next container, gunfire erupted from the far side of the dock. Khalid's men had discovered their presence. The turning point. Liam fought his way through the chaos, his Glock blazing as he took down enemy after enemy. Nadia and Emil provided cover, their precision keeping the attackers at bay. Finally, Liam reached the main office, where Khalid's second-in-command was barricaded. Kicking down the door, Liam leveled his gun at the man. "Where's Khalid?" Liam demanded. The man sneered, blood dripping from a wound on his forehead. "You'll never touch him. He's already gone." Liam didn't hesitate. One shot silenced the man, but his words left Liam with a bitter sense of urgency. A message sent. The raid on the dockyard was a success, but Khalid remained elusive. As Liam regrouped with Emil and Nadia, he made a decision. "They need to know they're not safe," Liam said. "What do you have in mind?" Nadia asked. Liam's gaze was cold and determined. "We send a message they can't ignore." Chapter 8, The Red Light Inferno. The aftermath of the Marseille dock raid left a trail of chaos. The syndicate's operation had taken a devastating hit, and the names in the ledger were beginning to fall one by one. Yet Khalid remained a ghost, slipping through the cracks of Liam's pursuit. The survivors rescued from the shipping containers had been handed over to the authorities, giving Liam some solace, but the mission was far from over. In the dim confines of Emil's hideout, Liam leaned over a map of Europe, his mind racing with the next step. Beside him, Nadia Zorich scrolled through intercepted communications, encrypted messages bouncing between high-ranking members of the syndicate. "They're scared," Nadia said, breaking the silence. "We've rattled them. Some of these messages are coded, but I can tell they're scrambling. Khalid's name keeps coming up." Liam's eyes narrowed. "Do we know where he's hiding?" "Not yet," Nadia admitted. "But I have a lead. He's set to attend a private gathering in Budapest. It's a cover, a high-stakes poker game hosted by one of his lieutenants. Khalid rarely shows his face, but this might be one of those rare exceptions." Liam tapped the map. "How do we get in?" Nadia smirked. "You leave that to me. But first, we need to make some noise. The message." Liam's plan was simple. Hit the syndicate where it hurt the most. With Emil's help, they identified a series of underground brothels operating across France, all linked to Khalid's network. The goal wasn't just to dismantle these operations, it was to send a clear and violent message to Khalid's allies that their empire was crumbling. The first target was a high-profile brothel disguised as an upscale hotel in Lyon. Liam and Nadia moved in under the cover of darkness, using Emil's contacts to breach the perimeter. Inside, the operation unfolded with ruthless efficiency. Liam moved like a predator, taking down guards with silent precision. Nadia hacked into the building's surveillance system, ensuring their movements went undetected. They freed the women held captive, leading them to a waiting extraction team outside. But Liam wasn't done. He planted explosive charges in key structural points throughout the building. As the last captive was escorted to safety, Liam triggered the detonator. The explosion ripped through the night, reducing the brothel to rubble. A trail of destruction. Over the next few days, Liam and his team targeted three more locations, each strike more devastating than the last. The media caught wind of the destruction, dubbing it the Syndicate Purge. Khalid's name began circulating in whispers, his allies questioning his ability to protect their interests. For Liam, the destruction wasn't enough. He wanted Khalid to know it was personal. At each site, he left a single message scrawled in red paint. Not far enough. The Budapest lead. The gathering in Budapest was the kind of event reserved for the elite, politicians, billionaires, and criminals cloaked in luxury. Hosted in a sprawling villa on the banks of the Danube River, the poker game was an annual tradition, but this year it was more than a game. It was Khalid's way of reassuring his allies that their network remained strong. "This is our chance," Nadia said as she and Liam studied blueprints of the villa. "If Khalid's there, we can take him out." "We can't just walk in the front door," Emil pointed out. Nadia smirked. "Actually, we can. I've secured two spots on the guest list, one for me and one for Liam. You'll be an art dealer, and I'll be your business partner." Liam raised an eyebrow. "Art dealer?" "Don't worry," Nadia said. "You just have to look bored and rich. Leave the talking to me." Infiltration. The villa was a picture of opulence. Glittering chandeliers hung from vaulted ceilings, and the sound of classical music drifted through the grand halls. Liam and Nadia entered dressed to kill, their carefully crafted personas drawing no suspicion from the guards. Liam's eyes scanned the room as they mingled, taking in the faces of the guests. Many were unfamiliar, but a few stood out, men and women whose names had appeared in the ledger. And then, in the corner of the room, Liam spotted him. Khalid was exactly as Liam had imagined, tall, imposing, with an air of untouchable arrogance. He sat at the poker table, flanked by bodyguards, a faint smirk playing on his lips. "That's him," Liam murmured to Nadia. "I see him," she replied. "Let's not rush this. We need to get him alone. The game." The poker game provided a perfect distraction. As the players focused on their hands, Liam and Nadia slipped away, moving deeper into the villa. Their goal was simple: find Khalid's private quarters and plant a tracker on his personal devices. They found his office on the second floor, guarded by a single man. Liam dispatched him quickly, and Nadia got to work hacking into Khalid's computer. "This is interesting," Nadia said as she copied files onto a flash drive. "Bank transfers, shipments, client lists. Khalid's entire operation is in here." "Good," Liam said. "Let's finish up and get out of here." But as they turned to leave, the sound of approaching footsteps froze them in place. The confrontation. Khalid entered the office, flanked by two guards. His eyes narrowed as he took in the scene. "Well, this is unexpected," Khalid said, his voice calm but menacing. "You must be Liam Carrington. I've heard a lot about you." "Then you know why I'm here," Liam replied, his tone icy. Khalid smirked. "You've been a thorn in my side, Mr. Carrington. But did you really think you could take me down? I am not Marco Dragan. I am not St. Clair. I am untouchable." "We'll see," Liam said, raising his gun. Before Khalid could react, Liam fired, taking out the two guards. Khalid dove for cover, pulling a gun of his own. The room erupted into chaos as bullets flew. The aftermath. Liam and Nadia escaped the villa amidst the chaos, the flash drive containing Khalid's secrets secured. Though Khalid himself had escaped, the operation was a success. With the data they'd obtained, they could dismantle his network piece by piece. For Liam, it wasn't enough. Khalid was still out there, and the mission wouldn't end until he was brought down. "This isn't over," Liam said as they regrouped with Emil. "No," Nadia agreed. "But it's a start." Chapter 9: Breaking the Chains. The drive from Budapest back to Emil's safe house was quiet, the weight of the operation pressing heavily on Liam's shoulders. The flash drive Nadia had retrieved was a trove of information, names, locations, and encrypted communications, but Khalid's escape gnawed at him. He wasn't just a target, He was the linchpin of the entire syndicate. Liam leaned back in the van's passenger seat, his mind racing as Emil navigated the winding roads of rural Hungary. Nadia sat in the back, her laptop open, furiously working to decrypt the files. "This data is massive," she said, her tone a mix of awe and frustration. "It's going to take time to sort through it all. But there's one thing that's clear. Khalid is running scared. He's pulling back assets, moving people, consolidating his power. That means we've got him on the ropes," Liam said, his voice grim. "But it also means he'll lash out. He won't stop until everyone connected to me is dead." Emil glanced at him. "We knew that when we started this, Liam. What's our next move?" "We stay ahead of him," Liam replied. "And we take him down before he regains control. The network unravels." Over the next few days, the team worked tirelessly to exploit the information on the flash drive. Nadia uncovered details about Khalid's financial operations, revealing a network of offshore accounts and shell companies. Emil used his contacts in European law enforcement to coordinate raids on key locations, striking blow after blow against the syndicate. But Khalid remained elusive. He moved like a phantom, disappearing just as the team closed in on him. Every lead brought them closer, but not close enough. "This isn't sustainable," Emil said one evening, his voice heavy with exhaustion. "We're bleeding him dry, but he's still out there." Liam stared at the map pinned to the wall, covered in red circles marking the syndicate's operations. "He's not invincible," Liam said. "Everyone has a weakness. We just have to find his." A dangerous proposition. Their breakthrough came from an unlikely source. One of the women rescued from the brothels had overheard Khalid discussing a secret shipment, something he described as the future of the business. The shipment was set to leave from a private airstrip in Albania within the next 48 hours. "This could be it," Nadia said, her excitement tempered by caution. "If we can intercept that shipment, we might find Khalid, or at least something to force him out of hiding." "It's a trap," Emil warned. "He knows we're watching him. He'll have that airstrip locked down tighter than Fort Knox." Liam nodded. "That's why we hit it hard and fast. No time for them to react." "The airstrip." The airstrip was nestled in a remote valley, surrounded by dense forest. Liam and his team arrived under the cover of darkness, their approach masked by the terrain. Through his binoculars, Liam counted at least a dozen guards patrolling the perimeter, all heavily armed. "This is going to get messy," Emil muttered. "It always does," Liam replied. The team split into two groups. Nadia and Emil would disable the security systems while Liam and Armand led the assault on the main hangar. The first phase of the operation went off without a hitch. Nadia's expertise rendered the cameras and alarms useless, and Emil provided cover as Liam and Armand moved into position. The assault. The firefight was brutal. Liam moved like a ghost, his years of training turning the chaos into a calculated dance. He took out guard after guard, his movements precise and efficient. Armand provided backup, his rifle picking off enemies from a distance. Inside the hangar, Liam found the shipment, several large crates marked with Khalid's emblem. He pried one open and froze. The crate was filled with young women, drugged and barely conscious. Rage surged through Liam as he took in the horrifying sight. "We've got survivors," he said into his radio. "Get medical support here now." But as he turned to leave, a voice stopped him cold. "Impressive," Khalid said, stepping out from the shadows. He was flanked by two bodyguards, his expression calm despite the destruction around him. The confrontation. Liam raised his gun, his eyes locked on Khalid. "You've been a thorn in my side for far too long," Khalid said. "But here we are, face to face. Tell me, Mr. Carrington, what do you hope to achieve? You kill me, and someone else will take my place. The network is bigger than you can imagine." "You're right," Liam said. "But it ends with you." Khalid smirked. "Do you really think you can save them all? You're just one man." "That's all I need to be," Liam replied. The room erupted into chaos as Liam fired. The gunfight was short but vicious, and when the smoke cleared, Khalid lay on the ground, blood pooling beneath him. The rescue. With Khalid dead, Liam turned his focus back to the survivors. He and the team worked quickly to free the women and secure the area. Nadia coordinated with local authorities, ensuring the victims would receive medical care and protection. As the last of the survivors were loaded into ambulances, Liam stood in the middle of the airstrip, his mind racing. Khalid's death was a victory, but it didn't feel like enough. The network was vast, and there were still countless victims out there. "You did it," Nadia said, approaching him. "It's not over," Liam replied. "No," Nadia agreed. "But you've made a difference. That's more than most people can say. Liam nodded, his resolve hardening. The fight wasn't over, but for the first time, he felt a glimmer of hope. Chapter 10. The Auction of Innocence. The news of Khalid's death sent shockwaves through the Syndicate's network. His allies scattered, and his lieutenants scrambled to protect their remaining assets. But even as the network fractured, Liam Carrington knew there was more work to be done. Khalid's operation was built on decades of corruption, and dismantling it would take more than a single strike. Back at Emil's safe house, Liam, Nadia, and the rest of the team pored over the information they had gathered from Khalid's laptop. Amidst the financial records and shipping manifests was one chilling discovery. Plans for a high-profile auction set to take place in Monaco within the week. "This isn't just any auction," Nadia said, her voice tight with anger. "They're selling people, children, women, everything we've been fighting against." Emil frowned, his brow furrowed in thought. If this auction goes ahead, the Syndicate could rebuild. It's their way of reassuring their clients that the business is still alive. "Then we stop it," Liam said, his tone firm. Nadia nodded. "This won't be easy. The auction will be heavily guarded, and the guest list is filled with some of the most dangerous people in the world." Liam's jaw tightened. "That just means we have to be smarter than them." The plan. The team devised an ambitious plan to infiltrate the auction. Using the guest list from Khalid's files, Nadia managed to forge credentials for herself and Liam. Posing as wealthy buyers, they would gain access to the event and gather as much intelligence as possible. Emil and Armand would remain outside, coordinating with law enforcement and providing backup in case things went south. "This is a high-stakes game," Nadia warned. "If they suspect us, we won't make it out alive." Liam's expression was steely. "They won't suspect anything. Let's get to work." The setting. The auction was being held at a lavish villa overlooking the Mediterranean, its opulence masking the horrors taking place within. As Liam and Nadia arrived, the air buzzed with the hum of luxury cars pulling up to the grand entrance. Men in tailored suits and women in designer gowns mingled, their laughter and champagne toasts a stark contrast to the grim reality of what they were there to buy. Liam adjusted his cufflinks, his face betraying no emotion as he scanned the crowd. His sharp eyes picked out armed guards stationed discreetly around the perimeter, their earpieces and subtle hand gestures revealing their purpose. "Stay close," Liam murmured to Nadia as they entered the villa. The auction. Inside, the villa was a picture of decadence. Crystal chandeliers cast a warm glow over marble floors, and the sound of classical music filled the air. Liam and Nadia moved through the crowd, careful to blend in while keeping an eye on their surroundings. In the grand ballroom, a raised platform served as the stage for the auction. A man in a sharp suit stood at the podium, his voice smooth and practiced as he addressed the crowd. "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome," he said, his tone dripping with false charm. "Tonight, we offer only the finest. Discretion is paramount, and your satisfaction is guaranteed." Liam's fists clenched as the first lot was brought onto the stage, a young girl, no older than 14, her wide eyes filled with terror. "We have to stop this," Nadia whispered, her voice trembling. "Not yet," Liam said, his voice low. "We need to find out who's running this. The discovery." As the auction continued, Liam and Nadia slipped away from the main room, using the information from Khalid's files to navigate the villa's private quarters. They found an office filled with documents, ledgers, and computer equipment, evidence of the auction's operations. "This is it," Nadia said, quickly photographing the documents and copying files onto a flash drive. Liam's eyes fell on a series of coded messages pinned to a corkboard. One name stood out, Sheikh Hassan Al-Rahim. "He's the host," Liam said, his tone grim. "If we take him down, the auction crumbles. The confrontation." As they prepared to leave, the sound of approaching footsteps forced them to hide. A group of armed guards entered the room, followed by Sheikh Al-Rahim himself. The Sheikh was an imposing figure, his presence commanding the room. He spoke in hushed tones, issuing orders to his men. Liam and Nadia exchanged a glance, their unspoken agreement clear. This was their chance to end the auction. As the guards dispersed, Liam moved quickly, taking down the remaining men with silent precision. Nadia disabled the Sheikh's communication device, cutting him off from his network. "You think you can stop me?" the Sheikh sneered as Liam cornered him. "Not think," Liam replied coldly. "No. The escape." With the Sheikh subdued and the evidence secured, Liam and Nadia made their way back to the ballroom. The auction was in full swing, the crowd oblivious to what was happening behind the scenes. Liam signaled to Emil and Armand, who coordinated with the local authorities. Within minutes, the villa was surrounded, and the sound of sirens shattered the night. Panic erupted as guests tried to flee, but the authorities were ready. Dozens of arrests were made, and the captives were freed. A Pyrrhic victory. As the dust settled, Liam stood on the villa's balcony, overlooking the sea. The operation had been a success, but the cost weighed heavily on him. The syndicate's network was vast, and there were still countless lives to save. Nadia joined him, her expression weary. "We did good tonight," she said. Liam nodded. "But it's not over. It won't be over until every last one of them is gone." She placed a hand on his shoulder. "We'll get there. One step at a time." Chapter 11, The Final Voyage. The aftermath of the raid on the Monaco auction rippled across Europe. Arrests were made, evidence was seized, and survivors were freed. But for Liam Carrington, it wasn't a celebration. The syndicate had been wounded, but it was far from defeated. Khalid's death had left a power vacuum, and others were already moving to fill the void. The flash drive Nadia retrieved during the raid contained one final clue, a lead that pointed to a luxury yacht moored off the coast of Montenegro. The yacht, named Eternal Dawn, was owned by Sheikh Hassan Al-Rahim's associate, Tariq Al-Nazari, a financier and arms dealer who was rumored to be Khalid's successor. "This is it," Liam said as he stared at the image of the yacht on Emil's laptop. "If we take this guy down, we cripple what's left of their operation." Emil frowned. "This won't be easy, Liam. That yacht is a floating fortress. Armed guards, surveillance, escape routes. It's a fortress at sea." "We've handled worse," Liam replied, his tone resolute. Nadia crossed her arms, her expression skeptical. "If we're doing this, we'll need more than brute force. We need a plan. The approach." The team devised a strategy to infiltrate the yacht. Posing as a wealthy buyer, Nadia would gain access to the ship, creating a distraction while Liam and Armand boarded undetected. Emil, stationed onshore, would provide logistical support and coordinate with local authorities in case things went south. The mission was set for the following night. As the team prepared, Liam pulled Nadia aside. "This is dangerous," he said. "If anything feels off, you pull the plug." "No hesitation." Nadia smirked. "You're starting to sound like you care." "I just don't want to lose my only decent hacker," Liam replied, his tone dry. Nadia rolled her eyes. "Touching. Boarding the beast." Under the cover of darkness, Liam and Armand approached the yacht in a small motorboat, their weapons and gear concealed beneath the seats. The Eternal Dawn was a massive vessel, its lights casting a golden glow over the dark water. Armed guards patrolled the deck, their movements precise and disciplined. On board, Nadia mingled with the guests, her sharp eyes scanning for Al-Nazari. She spotted him near the upper deck, surrounded by his entourage. "Target located," Nadia murmured into her hidden earpiece. "Copy that," Liam replied. "Keep him busy. We're moving in. The infiltration." Liam and Armand climbed aboard the yacht, moving silently along the shadows of the lower deck. They took out the first two guards with brutal efficiency, their suppressed weapons ensuring no alarms were raised. "Looks like the security is tighter than we thought," Armand whispered. "Stay sharp," Liam replied. They navigated through the ship's maze-like interior, their path leading them toward the control room. Taking control of the ship's systems would give them the upper hand, cutting off Al-Nazari's means of escape. The confrontation. In the control room, Liam hacked into the ship's systems, locking the yacht's navigation and disabling its communications. As alarms began to blare, Al-Nazari's voice came through the ship's intercom. "Whoever you are, you've made a grave mistake," he said, his tone dripping with arrogance. "You'll never leave this ship alive." "We'll see about that," Liam muttered, motioning for Armand to follow him. The two men moved toward the upper deck, where Al-Nazari had gathered his remaining guards. Gunfire erupted as they closed in, the chaos of the firefight echoing across the ship. The final stand. Liam and Armand fought their way through the guards, their movements precise and relentless. Al-Nazari retreated to the ship's private quarters, using his men as shields. As Liam cornered him, Al-Nazari raised his hands, a smirk on his face. "You're too late, Carrington. The syndicate doesn't end with me." Liam's expression was cold. "Maybe not. But you won't live to see what's next." With a single shot, Liam ended Al-Nazari's reign. Escape. The team regrouped on the lower deck as the sound of approaching sirens filled the air. Emil had alerted the authorities, and a fleet of patrol boats surrounded the yacht. "Time to go," Nadia said, her voice urgent. Liam nodded, helping the last of the survivors onto the escape boat. As they sped away, the Eternal Dawn was left behind, its empire in ruins. Reflections. Back on shore, Liam watched as the authorities secured the yacht, arresting the remaining members of Al-Nazari's crew. For the first time in weeks, he allowed himself a moment to breathe. "It's over," Nadia said, standing beside him. "For now," Liam replied. "But there's always another fight." Nadia smiled faintly. "You can't save everyone, Liam. But you've saved enough." Liam nodded, the weight of her words sinking in. The syndicate was broken, its leaders dead or imprisoned. But Liam knew there would always be more out there, more predators, more victims, more battles to fight. For now, though, he allowed himself a small victory. "Thank you," Sophie's voice echoed in his mind, a reminder of why he had started this journey. And with that, Liam Carrington disappeared into the shadows once more, ready for whatever came next. Chapter 12, Homecoming. The Mediterranean air carried a salty tang as the sun rose over the small coastal town where Emile's safe house was hidden. Liam Carrington sat alone on the weathered porch, his eyes fixed on the horizon. The mission was over. The syndicate was in shambles, its leaders dead or captured. But for Liam, the end of the mission wasn't the end of the fight. The scars, both physical and emotional, ran too deep. Behind him, the sound of a door creaking open broke his reverie. Sophie stepped out, her face softened by the golden light of morning. She was safe now, but her innocence had been forever altered by what she'd endured. Liam's heart ached as he looked at her, knowing he couldn't erase the pain she'd experienced. "Hey," Sophie said, sitting beside him. "Hey," Liam replied, his voice gravelly. For a moment, they sat in silence, the weight of everything unsaid hanging between them. "Is it really over?" Sophie asked, her voice quiet. "For now," Liam said. "The people who hurt you won't hurt anyone else again." Sophie nodded, but her expression remained troubled. "And what about you? What happens now?" Liam sighed, running a hand through his hair. "I don't know," he admitted. "But I'm here. For you. Rebuilding trust." The next few days passed slowly. Liam and Sophie stayed at the safe house while Emil and Nadia worked to finalize the operation. Authorities across Europe were cracking down on what remained of the syndicate, and the media was awash with reports of arrests and rescued victims. Sophie began to open up in small ways, her walls gradually crumbling under Liam's unwavering presence. They spent hours talking about her dreams, her fears, and the guilt she felt over Mia's fate. "It wasn't your fault," Liam said one evening as they sat by the fire. "But I should have listened to you," Sophie said, her voice trembling. "If I hadn't lied, none of this would have happened." Liam leaned forward, his eyes locked on hers. "Sophie, listen to me. What happened wasn't your fault. The only people to blame are the ones who took you. And they paid the price." Tears welled in Sophie's eyes as she nodded, her shoulders relaxing slightly. A new beginning. When it was finally time to return home, the journey felt surreal. The chaos and danger of the past weeks seemed distant as they boarded a plane back to the United States. Sophie leaned her head against Liam's shoulder during the flight, her exhaustion catching up with her. As they landed in Los Angeles, Liam couldn't help but feel a pang of unease. The familiar streets and faces felt alien after everything they'd been through. Renee and Victor were waiting at the airport, their expressions a mix of relief and guilt. Sophie ran into her mother's arms, and for a moment, Liam stood back, allowing them their reunion. Renee approached him hesitantly. "Liam," she said, her voice thick with emotion. "Thank you. For everything." Liam nodded, his face unreadable. "She's safe. That's all that matters." Victor extended a hand, his tone awkward but sincere. "We owe you more than we can say." Liam shook his hand briefly, then turned his attention back to Sophie. "A father's promise." As they left the airport, Sophie hesitated, looking up at Liam. "You're not going to disappear again, are you?" Liam crouched slightly to meet her gaze. "Not a chance," he said. "I'm here for good." Sophie smiled, a glimmer of hope returning to her eyes. Reflections. Weeks passed, and life began to settle into a new normal. Sophie started therapy, slowly piecing herself back together. Liam, meanwhile, struggled to adjust to the quiet. The adrenaline-fueled missions were behind him, but his instincts remained sharp, his vigilance constant. One evening, Sophie approached him with a small envelope. "I have something for you," she said. Liam opened it to find a hand-drawn card. Inside, Sophie had written a single sentence. "Thank you for never giving up on me." His throat tightened as he looked at her. "You don't have to thank me," he said. "I'll always fight for you. Always." The final step. In a small gesture of closure, Liam arranged for Sophie to visit Shira, the pop star who had once offered to mentor her. Sophie's face lit up as they entered the studio, her passion for music rekindling despite everything she had been through. As Liam watched her sing, he felt a sense of peace he hadn't known in years. Sophie was healing, and so was he. Epilogue. Months later, Liam sat in a quiet cafe, sipping his coffee as he read a news article about the dismantling of the syndicate. Arrests were still being made, and the ripple effects of their mission were being felt around the world. His phone buzzed, and he picked it up to see a text from Sophie. "Dinner tonight? Your turn to cook." Liam smiled, typing a quick reply, "On it." As he stepped out into the cool evening air, Liam felt something he hadn't in a long time. Hope. The fight wasn't over, but for now he had what mattered most: his daughter, his purpose, and the strength to face whatever came next. The end.